So, how do you describe yourself when you meet somebody for the first time? How do you describe yourself? I find myself, I'm always on the move, travel a lot in different ministry, and how do you describe who you are? It used to be really easy when I was the minister of a local church, is how I was the minister of this church. Then, like Joth, I looked after a part of the country. I looked after the southwest, Devon and Cornwall and Somerset, 100 churches, 90 ministers. And I'd say, as a regional minister, and people look confused. And they'd say, but where's your church? Because the people like the idea of you've got one church. But I said, well, actually got 100. And then I had the privilege of looking after the country, 2,150 churches. And it all gets terribly. How do you describe who you are? I could make it simple and say, I'm Sue's husband. Cheers, my wife. Or I could do it in relation to my children. Hannah's dad, Tom's dad, Beth's dad. But it's a question, isn't it? How do you describe yourself in that moment when you have to describe who you are and what you are? How are you going to do it quickly? And that's what I want to do with you this morning. I want to talk to you. I want to describe you, who you are. If you're a Christian, if you love Jesus Christ as your Savior, there are some very powerful things which we read in the Bible, and some of them we've just heard. Things which describe who you are. And I think they'll help us as we ask this question, what's the point of this vision discovery process? And if you haven't any idea what we're talking about, because you don't belong to this church from elsewhere, just hope you get one of these leaflets, which tells us about this journey we're on, which is to discover what God's vision is for this church. Where does he want us to go? What does he want us to be? And I think if we're going to work that out, we need to know who we are. So there are three things this morning I want to tell you that you are. And they come from 1 Peter chapter 2, a fascinating letter written probably in the early 60s. So if Jesus died and rose and ascended in about 30 AD, we're about 30 years later. We'd say a generation later that this letter was written. It was written to what we would call these days Turkey, churches in Turkey, and it was a time when many of the churches were really suffering. It was not easy to be a Christian in those early years. There was a lot of opposition, and so Peter writes to them to affirm who they are. And he uses some staggering words, doesn't he? You are, he says, a chosen people. That triggers all sorts of thoughts, doesn't it? A chosen people, royal priesthood, a holy nation. A chosen people. You think, well, we know who the chosen people are because we read the Old Testament. It's the Jews. What we're learning now is that in Jesus, there is a new chosen nation. It's all those people who belong to Jesus. That's the chosen race. In this new era in which we find ourselves, priests have a completely different role. In the Old Testament, we read a lot about priests. Priests are the people who God has appointed by birth, appointed to lead the people in worship, to take them to God, to bring them into the holiest place. In Jesus, incredibly, the door is thrown open. And now everybody who loves Jesus, everybody who follows in the way of Jesus, is a priest. So the first thing you need to know about is that you are a priest. You think, so what are we looking for a minister for? It's a very good question. We're all priests. We can all come directly into the presence of God. But God has still given different gifts to people. Different gifts to build up his church. And so Ephesians 4, for example, verse 11, it says, it was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers. We're all priests. We can all come boldly into the presence of God. If you love Jesus, even if you just trust Jesus for the first time today, you can come boldly into the presence of God today. We're all priests. But we're not all ministers, we're not all prophets, we're not all pastors and teachers and evangelists. We've got different roles within the church. But I want to stick with this priest business. You are a priest. As a priest, you need to live close to God. You need to know that day by day you are sharing your life with God and you're getting to know God better. These Bible notes, if you don't use any Bible notes at the moment, I do commend these to you. I know they've been commended here in the church through the years. Voice of Hope. The lovely thing about these notes is they don't give you a date. So if you miss a day, you don't feel guilty. You just have... Well, it's an issue, isn't it? Day 47, day 48, day 49, day 2. You just get to read it on the day that you're there. But we're priests. We need to live close to God. There are more copies of them at the door. Do take a free copy, please. So we're priests. We need to live close to God. But here's the key thing. Here's the key thing. If you read the Old Testament, you will find that priests couldn't bring just any offering, not just any sacrifice. What they had to bring was the best. That was the key thing. If you've read through the early books of the Bible, and I hope you have, because you have to work at them. They're not easy. It's not all memorable sentences. But it's a wonderful story of how God has prepared a way for us to bring gifts to him, bring our worship to him. And the priests had to bring the best. Now, you learned a few moments ago that you're a priest. You're a priest. Your duty before God, every one of you, if you love Jesus, if you're seeking to live in his way, is to bring him the best. And for me, that's where this vision discovery process fits in. We're not content to just keep this church going. We're doing all right. Let's just keep it jogging along because we're not content with that. This is a fantastic church. Love this church. We want to be the best. When I was last here, and a number of people have commented on that since, we commented on the way that God is the lifter of our heads. Remember from Psalm 3? It just left to ourselves, we very easily get to trudge through life, don't we? Go through the mechanics of life, even the mechanics of being a Baptist church, just keeping it going. And God is the lifter of our heads. Isn't that a wonderful description? He's the one who lifts our eyes. And I believe this vision discovery process is one, as we reflect together, as we listen together, as we seek to grasp what God is saying to this church, I believe God will use it to lift our heads to his vision for this church. So let's lift our heads. Let's look to God's glorious future for this church. None of this, as we talk about the future, we're not for a moment criticizing the past. We want to say thank you to God for the past. Thank you for the strong tradition of this church. Thank God for the faith of the church, the commitment of people of this church. It's just everything to celebrate. But we need to make sure we're bringing the best to God. That's our calling. Why? Because you're a priest. You're a priest. Secondly, you're a proclaimer. 1 Peter 2, verse 9, you're a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who's called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. That's what we're doing this morning. Now, thank you to the band. We really appreciate the support you give to us as we do our proclaiming, as we bring our worship to God. I love worship. I love worship for every reason. But it's wonderful, isn't it? What we're doing week by week is actually repeating the same sort of stuff, aren't we? You know, last week we praised God that he was God of love. Well, he's still a God of love this week. And, you know, we'll come next week and we'll still be repeating the same things. And why do we do that? Because we need to remind ourselves that our lives are based on this great God of love and care and goodness. We need to continually be proclaiming how great he is. But there's more to this proclaiming business. Having discovered that God is good, we have a responsibility to share this good news with others. As many of you will know, I used to live in India for 2 years after college. I lived in India, in Kerala, that have just had these terrible floods. Kerala has suddenly slipped totally out of the news, hasn't it? Think of Kerala, pray for Kerala. About 1 million people are still homeless. 5,000 miles of roads have been lost in not a very big state. It's quite devastating. What I learned when I went to live in India, in Kerala, was that Thomas took the gospel there in AD 52. People have mentioned that to me in the past, and I thought it was a joke. It just seemed so unlikely. But actually, it's extremely likely. There were boats. We know there were supply ships going between the Middle East and Kerala. That's proven. It was true from the time of Solomon. They used to go and pick up the spices, cardamom particularly, from that part of India, take them to the Middle East. So AD 52, I think it's more than likely to be right. St. Thomas took the gospel to India. And what he did was he established a church, because that's what they did. Well, this really confused me as a Baptist, because I thought, well, I know about William Carey. I thought he took the gospel to India at the end of the 18th century. Good guy, Baptist, fantastic. What's this with this church in AD 52? Where did that church go? Well, I have to say, the church was established. The Syrian Orthodox Church was established in India, AD 52, long before, centuries before the gospel got to this country. You think, well, what happened? I'll tell you what happened. A group of people, this community of who originally from Syria, but firmly Indians, they got this treasure, the gospel, and they looked after it, and they made sure that nobody else got their hands on it, because it was so precious. You know what other people are like? They just mess it up. So they just kept the gospel to themselves, seriously, for century after century after century. Now, all I would say to you is don't go tut-tut too quickly, because often that's exactly what we do. We've got the gospel, and we look after it, and we come into these lovely buildings and turn our heads in on one another, and we celebrate the gospel we've got, when really it belongs out there. It belongs to the world. The good news is for the whole of Eastleigh. Can I just say to you, you've been a remarkable church in sharing good news. I'm very aware of that. And I celebrate all you've done, genuinely, brilliant. You know, just, you have a fantastic track record, and I, as an outsider, if you like, I recognise that and I applaud that. However, the majority of people in Eastleigh do not know the good news of Jesus Christ. That's the fact. The majority of people do not walk in the ways of Jesus in Eastleigh. That is to say, we've got work to do. We've all got work to do. Why am I excited about the vision discovery process? Because one of the things it's bound to do, it's got to do, is to reflect on the way in which we share good news with our community, because that's what we're in the world to do. I think it's really exciting. We live in a society where there are staggering opportunities for sharing good news. One of my other titles in life is I'm an ambassador for Premier Radio. 1.2 million people listen to Premier Radio every week. That's a staggering new opportunity for us. With all the digital platforms that exist, endless ways in which we can reach out to other people. We need to become more and more imaginative in sharing good news. So I'm glad that we're having the vision discovery process. Not just because we're priests and we need to do the best we can do, but secondly, because we're proclaimers and we need to work out how we can share good news more effectively. Thirdly, you're a pilgrim. You're a pilgrim. In my version, and Simon's was different, which is splendid, verse 11 reads, "Dear friends, I urge you as aliens and strangers in the world." And other versions too will speak about it being strangers and pilgrims. What is the impression he's giving is, you're just on the way through. You're just here for a while. That's all we are doing here on earth. We don't belong here. This is not our true home. Don't muddle yourself with that thought. We're only here for a few years. I mean, if you've got another 100 years to live, it's a tiny amount of time in the whole compass of human history. But 90 years, 80 years, 70 years, whatever. It's still a tiny amount of time. Our lives are a gift from God. The amount of time we've got, whether it's days, weeks, years, decades, it's not really relevant. What matters is that we recognize we're pilgrims. We're just on the way through. We don't really belong here. And recognize that we're grasping every opportunity to serve God effectively. When I was last here, we looked at Ephesians 5, verse 15. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity. And if you looked on the blogs, I did a blog based on that message this last week. Let's grasp the opportunity. Let's grasp the moment. Why? Because we're pilgrims. God has given us this moment. God has given us, as priests, as proclaimers, as pilgrims, he's given us this moment to serve him. And I'm thrilled to be with you on this journey at the moment as we come to the Lord. We just say to the Lord, what are you saying to us? God, what are you dreaming for us? This is a book that's been an inspiration for the journey you're on, God Dreams by Will Mancini. God, what do you want this church to become? Where do you want us to go? If you want us to grow, how do you want us to grow? Where do you want us to go? On this journey, we need to listen hard to God, listen hard to one another. But it all comes down to who you are in God. Don't forget it. You're a priest. You're a proclaimer. You're a pilgrim. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word that's always so encouraging and always so challenging. Lord, we're encouraged to learn that we are your priests, that we have the privilege of being able to come right into your presence. Lord, teach us how we can be better priests, how we can serve you with the very best that we can bring. Thank you, Lord, that you've given us good news to proclaim. Help us, Lord, as we proclaim good news day by day. Help us as a church to be more effective in letting this town know that you love them completely. Father, we thank you for the reminder that we're pilgrims. We're not here forever, just here for a while. And whether it's days, weeks, years, or decades, it doesn't matter. We give you this day and pray that we may use the time that you've given to us to best effect so that this church may go forward in your name. Hear our prayers, Lord, and guide us as we come in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.